Good morning and happy Sabbath, everybody who joined us at our worship service, live YouTube streaming. And this is on behalf of Creative Media Ministries. Thank you for joining us. If you have not yet subscribed to our channel, don't forget to do so. On it, you'll find many fresh messages, including Pastor Bill Liversidge messages we will be posting. We already posted many, but the rest of the archives that he ever preached that we will be posting on this YouTube channel will be only one channel that will contain pretty much everything that was produced out there when he was traveling and talking, speaking and teaching. So, subscribe. You will have the access to them all. And as of now, before we open the Word of God, I'd like to ask you to bow your heads with me as we open the Bible. Gracious, loving Father, as we come into your presence, we want to lift up our hearts to you and praise you for this beautiful morning, for the sunshine, for the Sabbath, Lord, and for calling us your children. And as we come into your presence, Lord, we claim the presence of the Holy Spirit. Speak to us. Unfold to us the passages of the Scriptures in such a way that we will see the character of God in an attractive way that nothing will ever be able to take us out of your hand as we understand the depth of your love for human race. Thank you for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, today we are going to go to one of the Old Testament stories. Old Testament sheds the light upon the new and the new upon the old. And one is not complete without the other. And we will see this through the story of Joseph. So if you open your Bibles with me to the Gospel, Gospel. The whole Bible is the Gospel because you can find this in every passage of the Scripture. The book of Genesis chapter 45. Book of Genesis chapter 45. As you open your Bible, I'd like just to tell you this fact. That Joseph and his wife is the symbol and the type of Christ. He was favored by his father. Joseph was sold for the price of the slave. Joseph experienced the greatest pain, just as Jesus. And by the way, the greatest pain does not come from the world. The greatest pain comes from the house of God. So years gone by as Joseph has been sold by his brother and the Ishmaelites. They brought him to Egypt, and he was a slave in Egypt. Years gone by, and now Joseph is a ruler in Egypt. You know the story, how it came about. And God was behind all these things. We will see this in a beautiful way today. 7 years of plenty passed by, and 7 years of drought have come. Wow, reminds me of our country that so many years we enjoyed the years of plenty, and appears like the time of a drought is upon us. So in his father's house, his brethren are experiencing drought and hunger. Oh. So they came to Egypt to buy provision for life, and Joseph is in charge of provision. Oh, keep that in mind. Joseph is in charge of provision, and Joseph is the symbol of Christ. First time they thought they paid for the provision as they came and bought and went back home and found out that all the money was in their bag. It came to be known that the provision was free because, you see, the provision. No one can buy the provision of God. It is always free. It is a gift. second time they came to buy provision, to get provision for wives. And Joseph tested them to see if his brothers are still as selfish and unloving as they were when they sold him to slavery. And in verse 1, really, Joseph could not console himself, and you would wonder why. The clue is in chapter 44, verse 18 and 33. Let me read this for you. As you remember, when second time they were going back home, Joseph commanded that the cup, his cup, would be put in the sack of his brother, Benjamin. And then they sent after them and brought them back. So, and you know the story, that now Joseph has to hold on to Benjamin. The rest of them can go back. And the father of Joseph and Benjamin would have died. Jacob would not handle the loss of a second son. And Judah, in verse 18, said, approaching him, said, "Oh, my Lord, may your servant please speak a word in my Lord's ear, and do not be angry with your servant, for you are equal to Pharaoh." You are equal to Pharaoh. Verse 33, "Now therefore, please let your servant remain instead of the lad, a slave to my Lord, and let the lad grow up with his brothers. For how shall I go up to my father if the lad is not with me? For fear that I see the evil that would overtake my father." Wow. Well, the beautiful parallels are there. This can be the whole series of messages to the story of Joseph, but we give you just a short version of it. So, Joseph tested them to see if they're still as selfish and unloving as they were. And as he sees that one of his brothers, Judah, wants to become surety for Benjamin, he sees his unselfishness and he could not restrain himself. As the Bible says, Joseph could not control himself before those who stood by him, and he cried, "Can everyone go out from me?" So there was no man with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. So it is same with Jesus. When he sees unselfishness, care, and love among the brethren, he cannot control, restrain himself from revealing himself, more of himself to us. He is anxious to see that unity among his brethren, so he could reveal more of himself and his power to us. And this unity, by the way, will come around. So far it didn't happen, but it will come around. And the way it's going to come around is through the trials and tribulations. But it will come about. And if you stick around, you will experience it. Still in verse 1 of chapter 45, he made himself known to his brothers. This is our point number one. Joseph, symbol of Christ, made himself known to his brothers. It is when we alter selfishness that God can make himself known to us. Before the crucifixion, you see, Jesus calls his followers friends. And it's only after crucifixion that Jesus calls his followers brethren. Why? Because of the change in them. The disciples became so united. They became as one, and that's why the Holy Spirit was put out on them. And that's how the Holy Spirit will come about upon his children, the latter rain, when there will be the unity among God's people. You are his brethren. You are his sisters. He wants to make himself known to each one of us, my friend. that he is forgiving, loving, and compassionate brother and God. Is there anything in your life as you are watching and listening, or those who will be joining and replaying this later, visiting this YouTube channel? Is there anything in your life that hinders Jesus to reveal himself fully to you? Maybe it is unbelief. But God is so generous to you. You may be continuing living by feeling. Feelings are very deceptive. You are to look at the fact. And one fact that is undeniable, if you are in doubt, if you are in unbelief, take another look at the cross and see how much it cost God to save you. Where Jesus hanging on the cross, he could actually save himself, but he chose not. You know why? He could have saved himself, but he could not save himself and you at the same time. He had to make a choice, and the choice that he made speaks to you today that Jesus loves you more than he loves himself. Take another look at the cross, my friend, if you doubt, if you are in unbelief, that you are loved. And it doesn't matter how you feel it. It has nothing to do with your feelings. It has all to do with what God had done for Jesus on the cross. So, as the ruler Joseph now was surrounded by servants, he makes everyone to go out. So no one, the Bible says, stood was with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And so is Jesus. Indeed, no one stood with Jesus as he made his love, himself, known to his brothers and to the world as the Savior of the world to bring us back into his family. His heart was touched by the helplessness of the human race. Is because we could not save ourselves, because we could not produce any righteousness, any holiness, Jesus came and did it all. Wow. Verse 2, Genesis 45. He wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard of it. Wow. He wept aloud. So loud that everyone heard him. For whom he was weeping? He was weeping for those who sold him, who betrayed him. And he still loves them. Oh, may it be a comfort to you, my friend. You may be stumbling time to time and you think God doesn't love you anymore. Don't buy into the lie of Satan, my friend. You are loved. And while you're in the process of growing in Jesus, even when you stumble, you are not condemned. You are loved. Just as the flower, when it opens up to the sunshine, every moment of the way it is opening up, blooming, it is perfect every step of the way. And so is a Christian in his growth, in sight of God, because of what Jesus had done. And he put his robe of righteousness on you. Now he sees, he looks at you, and he sees Jesus. Because when he looked at Jesus on the cross, he had seen you. So, that's why he turned his face away from Jesus and let him test your second death. He wept aloud. And so, Jesus is wept aloud in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, if at all possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will be done, but yours. So on the cross he was crying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And now, in Chapter 44, verse 5. It says, is not this the one from which my Lord drinks and which he indeed uses for divination you have done wrong in doing this. You remember when the cup was found in the sack of Benjamin, the servant of Joseph came and was speaking to brethren. The cup of Joseph is the type of Christ. That cup of Joseph was put in his brother's sack so it can ignite the wrath upon the one who has the cup. Oh, please hear it. The cup of Joseph, who is a type of Jesus, was put into his brother's sack so it can ignite the wrath of God upon the one who has the cup. Wow. The cup of wrath, my friends, is in our sacks. And Jesus came to take it. Wow. It has to come back to Joseph. It has to come back to Jesus. Joseph is a type of Christ. Jesus alone can bear the cup of the wrath of God against sin, the curse, against sin, against the curse, against the second death. On the cross, Jesus took it all for you and for me. He tasted the second death for all. And those who believe, those who receive this gift, they are not going to taste the second death. Isn't that a good news, my friend? And we, as the Seventh-day Adventist Christians, must be the happiest people on this planet, in spite of anything. Because we are going home. Now, verse 3 of chapter 45. Back to chapter 45. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. They were dismayed. They were troubled. They were fearful. Imagine if you are facing a person, your brother, your friend, whom you betrayed, sold, let down, for whatever reason it is. Maybe you felt uncomfortable in the presence of the one that you let down or you sold, or you just, you know, I had so many stabs in my back. Imagine if you are facing that person and that person now is in charge, he is the ruler, you will be dismayed. You will be fearful. Everyone will be. At some point of life, my friends, we all betray the Lord, our friend, our brother. We all. And he is in charge, and we are dismayed. But take a look at verse 4. Then Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. That's the big point. Please come near to me. Joseph is a type of Christ. Please hear the words of Jesus as he is saying to you today, in spite of all the ways that you have let him down, please come near to me. Wouldn't you want to come near to Jesus right now? He is so willing to forgive you, put everything behind, and to teach you how not to stumble. Don't you want this, my friend? Please come near to me. Jesus is saying to those who are troubled, dismayed, fearful, please come near to me. Are you troubled? Are you fearful? Are you dismayed right now because of your many sins? If you are, Jesus wants to restore that broken relationship with him. Just come near to him, my friend. He will do it. Just come near to him in repentance. Verse 4. Please come near to me. And they came closer. They came near to Joseph. They came near to Joseph. Don't you want to come near to Jesus? if it is you, my friend, wherever you are, just raise your hand. Raise your voice. And say to the Lord that you want to be healed, Jesus. You see, he says, I am your brother whom you sold into Egypt. I am your brother. In spite of the fact that you sold me into Egypt, I am your brother. Jesus is your brother, my friend. Before the crucifixion, the followers of Jesus called friends. After crucifixion, the followers of Jesus are the brothers of Jesus. And you are his brother. You are his sister. This is on the basis of his incarnation and crucifixion. He is one with us, and he is not ashamed to call us his brethren. He is not ashamed of it. Even though now and then we fail him, he is so gentle, kind, and forgiving. And whoever comes to me, Jesus said in John chapter 7, whoever comes to me, I will by no means cast out. We may feel sometimes a little heat when we come to Jesus, because God is a consuming fire. But my friend, that consuming fire is love of God, because he wants to burn every dross from our lives, because he wants us to be fitted into his holy kingdom. As Peter was saying in James, consider your trials as joy. The fiery trial, consider it joy, because it's perfecting your character. So verse 5, my friends, before verse 5, remember, come near to Jesus as he's asking us to do. Don't let these words stop ringing in your ears. Please come near to me. Verse 5, do not be grieved or angry with yourself because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. In other words, stop beating yourself. Stop feeling guilty for what you have done. Why? Because your guilt, your shame, your judgment, and everything that comes with it has fallen. It was lifted up from you and placed on Jesus, who does not deserve it. And Jesus paid it all as full. That very cup, he drank completely. He emptied that cup. God has sent me before you to preserve life. What a parallel. The Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. My friends, before this world was created, before sin entered the human race, this verse tells me that God had a plan to save us. And when the fullness of time came, God sent his Son, that Lamb of God. Wow. You see, from the very beginning, between God the Father and God the Son, there is a river of love that flows from one towards another. God created a man and placed him into this river of love, and then mankind became the object of God's love. But the enemy of God kidnapped that object of love by injecting sin into human race. And all along, God had a plan that should anything go wrong with my object of love, this human race, I must have a plan. And that plan was the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. And when that fullness of time came, Jesus was incarnated. He became your brother. Surety for you and for me. Verse 6, as you could see, my friend, in every passage of the Scripture, you could dig out the Gospel. The whole Bible, the entire Bible, is the Gospel. One is not complete without the other. The old sheds light to the new and new to the old. And they're not complete without each other. Verse 6, for the time has been in the land, for the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing plowing nor harvesting. Wow. 5 more years of drought ahead. And my friends, you may be going through some type of drought in your life right now. It may be financial drought. It may be physical illness. Maybe emotional drought. Maybe relational. It may even be spiritual drought. Jesus is saying this. Listen to verse 7. God has sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. Wow. A great deliverance. Wow. What is the great deliverance? Well, the word deliverance is associated, is the same word as the salvation, correct? And salvation is the deliverance from sin. According to Matthew 1:21, when an angel is speaking to Mary, to Joseph about Mary, that she will bear a child and will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins, not in their sins, from their sins. Salvation, according to the Bible, is deliverance from sin. So, great deliverance. Salvation is a great deliverance, my friends. And that's what the verse says. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth. To preserve for you a remnant in the earth. And to keep you alive by great deliverance. To keep you alive by a great deliverance, my friend. But in order to deliver us from sin, to open the door of prison, that was the redemptive price that needs to be paid. That price was the blood of the Lamb that was pointing to Jesus, paying that price in full on the cross. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:22, there is no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. No forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. Wow. In order for your sins to be forgiven, Jesus had to go to the cross. And again, that very cross, as you, in your mind's eye, you come to the cross, you look at the cross, please hear the words of Jesus, what happened there. That he decided to stay on the cross, he's basically saying, I will pay that price for you because I love you more than I love myself. And for that joy that was set before him, he endured the cross despising the shame. The joy of Jesus was to give you eternal life, to forgive your sins and to give you eternal life. The cross of Jesus was to take your sins and to lose his existence for it. So the joy of Jesus to take your sins, to pay the penalty for you and to give you eternal life was so much greater than the perspective of Jesus to lose his own existence. Oh, my friend. That's why it is so important to come to the cross every day of your life. Behold the cross of Christ and to meditate how much it cost God to give you salvation as a gift so that your heart may be filled with gratitude. Verse 8. Now therefore it was not you who sent me here, but God. It was God the Father who sent Jesus. God the Father and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, they're all on our side. They're all involved in this plan of salvation, saving the human race from sin. It's not like Jesus is in heavenly sanctuary now, pleading before Father on your behalf. You know what Jesus is doing actually in the heavenly sanctuary? He's not trying to appease the Father for you. No. Jesus is there refuting the accusations of Satan against you. That's what he's doing. Wow. Verse 8 and 9 again. Now therefore it was not you who sent me here, but God, and he has made me a father to Pharaoh, and the Lord of all his household, and the ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father, and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Do not delay. Wow. God has made me Lord of all the land of Egypt. The big point also. God has made me Lord of all the land of Egypt. And Jesus himself says in Matthew 28, verse 18, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now Egypt represents the slavery. It's a symbol of bondage. In other words, it is the camp of the enemy, all right? You would agree with me. God has made me Lord over all the land of Egypt. Please hear it, my friend. The Egypt is the camp of the enemy. God has made Jesus the Lord of all the land of Egypt. And you will be with me, he says. You see, this whole world is sinking under the slavery to sin, to Egypt. Joseph sending message to his father's family. God has made me Lord over all the land of Egypt, and you will be with me. Wow. If you are the family of Jesus. Wow. Do you believe this, my friend? Do you believe it? You see, Jesus has made us kings and priests of the Most High God. We are more than conquerors, according to Romans chapter 8:37. We are more than conquerors in Christ. All power and authority has been given to Jesus. This earth is his dominion. He rendered our enemy powerless. Powerless. What does it mean? Powerless. He took away the power from him. He made us kings and priests. We are not to live a life of fugitives on this earth, but as the members of the royal family, the sons and the daughters of God. We're living on God's territory.
That's
we
enough.
Are not to be fearful, but
enough.
To be faithful to our Lord and the high calling that he has for us. We are going home. We are going home. Now, take a look at verse 24. Verse 24. Here's what Joseph is saying to his brothers as they're going home. So he sent his brothers away, and as they departed, he said to them, do not quarrel on the journey. Do not quarrel on the journey. It tells me that Joseph is actually calling them to unity. And it tells me that Jesus wants to speak these words to us as you go home. Do not quarrel on the journey. Jesus wants to see the unity among the brethren. Oh, if only God's children, his church, would hear and understand this. That Christ is the Lord of all. We are his family, and we are not to quarrel on the way. This unity will result. God will bring this unity. And this unity actually will shatter, will break the power of the enemy here. Because it's the united body of his children that God will be able to reveal the fullness of himself. This is the principle of the body. If I would be hiding behind a pulpit somewhere and showing just one part of my body, it won't say to you much about me. You have to see all of me website will tell you all about me. So, the unity. This unity will take place by seeing and understanding with clarity, as disciples did, the character of God, Jesus, which is the gospel. They did understand this after the crucifixion. And that is why we are trying to bring the gospel, the character of God, in every presentation to strengthen the brethren, because it will result in unity. And whenever there will be a united body, God will be revealing His fullness to that body. Woe to the world, I tell you. Whenever this will be happening, there will be a spark of light. That light will enlighten the whole world. And that's what the enemy is afraid of. And the children of God are buying into his deception for little things to quarrel between each other to prevent God to reveal himself fully to us. My prayer for each one of you, my friend, that you will never allow this to happen among the brethren, that you will walk with God. Whoever wants to walk with God, whoever understands the gospel of Jesus and the character of God, will be joined with you. And in unity, you will have God revealing himself through you. God bless you as you do it, as you surrender to God in every aspect of your life. And may God bring to your life those individuals who do the same to create that unity. Loving Father, we are seeing what happened in the world. We are on the way home, but yet while we are here, this is your dominion, Lord. You have conquered our enemy powerless. You made us the ambassadors of your gospel, of your kingdom. And Father, we are availing ourselves to you to carry this gospel on, this torch of light. And we are craving for the unity, Lord. If there's anything in our lives that is not complying with your will, anything that is not of you, Lord, take it away from us. Bring about such a unity, not only among this little group, but your church worldwide, whatever it takes, Father. Trials and tribulations are coming, we understand, but whatever it takes, Father, we pray for this unity in the latter rain in your church, among your people, Father, that this world truly will be enlightened by the glory of God. When the flood covered the whole world, may that light now cover the whole world, Father, that Jesus may come and put end to the sin problem on this planet and in the universe, that you will reign forever and ever, and we as your children will praise you forever and ever for what you have done, doing, and will do. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Dear friends, a quick, very quick announcement. if this is your first time that you join our YouTube channel, then we invite you to subscribe, because you don't want to miss what is coming more, and also what is being posted, was posted, being posted, will be posted on this channel. Subscribe. You will have the access to it all. Share with your friends. Post it on your Facebook if you'd like. We give you permission to share any messages on this YouTube channel, on your Facebook, your websites, your own YouTube channels. Let this gospel go forth to enlighten the whole world. Amen. For the glory. Amen?
Amen.
And by the way, those of you who just joined, if you never read this book, Victory in Jesus, I would strongly recommend, because through this book, it is this very seminar that is put in the book that brought the light of the gospel to my life. I could not contain that fire. I ended up in ministry. So I urge you, every Christian must read this book, Victory in Jesus by Bill Leverstich. It will give you the fullness of understanding of the gospel, the character of God, and God's way of delivering human beings from sin problem. In three different steps, it describes the whole plan of salvation, salvation from sin. You can go to the website, creativemediaministries.org, creativemediaministries.org, and you can have this in the bookstore. God bless you all, and until we meet again. By the way, at 3 o'clock today, at 3 o'clock today, we will have another session of Broken Vessel. You don't want to miss it. And we'll be also recording it, and then you can have the access to it. God bless you. We'll have also a prayer session at 3 o'clock. Bring your requests, invite your friends. Until then, happy Sabbath, and we'll see you soon.